Chapter 12. The late 20th century witnessed the undeniable victory of Western capitalism over communist socialism, or so it would appear. One must go back to the old British Empire, or even the Roman Empire, to find anything to compare to the political and economic domination of the world by the United States and Western multinational corporate interests. It is even more remarkable that, aside from a few skirmishes here and there, this domination has come about, thus far, without the use of the tens of thousands of nuclear weapons manufactured, deployed, and stockpiled by several nations. Did it, however, come about without the coercive influence of military force? Is there a relationship between Western multinational corporate capitalism and the American military? What does the President of the United States mean when he speaks of our national interests? When this catchphrase is used, there are rarely, if ever, any specifics offered that would allow a listener to understand what is meant. If people press for details, they may be told that the details cannot be revealed in the interest of national security. More outright evil may have been hidden from view by that abominable catchphrase than any other in American history. What does that mean? All too often, the subject matter and circumstances will support no other conclusion than that the government, or someone whose interests the government is protecting, simply does not want you to know or understand what is really happening. The Western economic empire has been and continues to be protected, even guaranteed, by Western, predominantly American, military muscle, including massive, clandestine, so-called black ops programs that are almost entirely hidden from the American people, but of which the foreign press and people of other countries around the world are only too aware. Americans have been told by their government and media for decades that the United States is the most generous, benevolent nation in history. Predictably, speaking of American domination seems absurd to most Americans. However, one need only pay attention to the foreign press to learn that the rest of the world is either populated by ingrates or the typical American has a terrible perception problem. Economic conquest through the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank has worked just fine, thank you. The surest way to conquer a country and have it stay conquered is to destroy its monetary system by introducing the same fraudulent, debt-based money created out of thin air and used by the Western multinational corporate bankers. The result, especially in smaller, undeveloped countries, is the rapid transfer of property and business ownership into the hands of the multinational bankers and those natives who cooperate with them in imposing the IMF World Bank system on their outsmarted, outspent, and outgunned countrymen. Uncooperative regimes have time and again succumbed to clandestine operations wherein CIA or other black ops have destabilized or overthrown governments to ensure democratic policies favorable to U.S. interests, all without the application of any apparent military force. There is no need to cite chapter and verse here, for heaven's sake. These things are readily known to anyone paying even a modicum of attention. The communist side of the nuclear monopoly really never had the economic resources to compete. Other than what it could hang on to through brute force and geographic proximity, the communist bloc had little with which to appeal to the peoples of the so-called Third World. Here and there, an ideologue such as Castro in Cuba or Ho Chi Minh in North Vietnam would rally a people against the evils of capitalism, but they may have been missing the big picture entirely, or even been working another side of the same agenda. Who knows? During most of the Cold War, developing nations thought developing meant lusting after the lifestyles of the rich and famous. It certainly never meant let's murder Mickey Mouse. The promoters of communism were almost unbelievably naive, or perhaps co-opted all along, who knows. They never had a prayer. Western carpetbaggers have had the Third World sewed up and signed up for decades. Western influences appear to have had the final say in both Third World politics and finances for most of the 20th century. Case in point, does anyone seriously think the NATO governments and banks forgave Japan and Germany and put them back on their feet financially out of the goodness of their hearts? To assume such is to postulate that governments and banks have hearts, or even more absurd, that they were acting out of the Christian kindness in the hearts of the people of the NATO nations. The quote money, unquote, to rebuild the original axis of evil came out of the same thin air as that which financed the world wars of the 20th century. More significantly, this money was transfused into the defeated nations' economies, leaving them defeated in ways the average citizen would scarcely recognize, much less understand.